Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
This is Kathy Campanelli, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Let's get serial.
Hey everyone, it's Matt Michaels here. I have Sin City Steve and Simon Street, and today we're going to be talking with one of the most impressive and hottest commodities on the independent wrestling scene today, Miss Aria Black. How you doing? Did I say black?
I'm good.
You said black.
Yeah, I said black.
Yeah, yeah. What's that about? Damn, how you gonna do me like that?
It's, you know what? If I wasn't, like, if my head wasn't screwed on straight, I'd mispronounce my own damn name. So I do apologize. I'll take it one more time. Miss Aria Blake. How you doing?
There it is. I'm good. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Good. Thank you.
I guess the first question is, with the situation just being crazy nowadays and, you know, you being on the East Coast, how have you been? Have you been able to deal with everything? And has it been just, you know, kind of craziness trying to mix in with normality?
I guess, yeah. I've been lucky to avoid getting it or anything, or having anybody in my immediate family get it. Both of my boyfriend's parents got it, but they are in California, where I think it's like the worst place currently.
Yeah.
So at least, like, Florida's bad, but it's at least there are some worse places. We're not number one. But it has taken wrestling from me, which kind of sucks because, like, the indies are really, like, not running. There's, like, a handful running, and I think they're all mostly in, like, the Northeast.
Right.
But, yeah, there's not much wrestling going on down here. It's given me time to, like, train and work out and stuff, but not have actual matches in front of people. I've missed that.
What has been the hardest part of, you know, kind of, you, it sucks because what you do is an athletic skill, and you know that to stay on top of your game, you have to, you know, do your craft. What has been the most difficult part about not being able to get in a ring every day? And have you had to, like, condition yourself to work out more, just to kind of stay in physical shape?
Yeah, I think that staying on top of physical shape, and, like, I have been able to train here and there, not as much as I'd like, though, given the situation, but, like, I miss being able to, like, get those reps in, and I miss, like, being used to traveling to shows and seeing people and performing in front of crowds. Like, I kind of do worry that first match back, like, in front of a crowd, like, kind of as close to normal as we can get, like, how's that gonna go? But I don't think that's unique. I think a lot of people are probably feeling that right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. Do you think that when you get the chance to get in front of the crowd for the first time again, is it going to be nerves of, you know, nerves of joy or nerves of, oh boy, I hope this goes well?
I think both, but I guess it depends how much I can train and stuff before that match, because I feel like if I'm consistently able to, you know, run the ropes and practice a little bit, that might help me with getting back to normal. But I definitely think I'll be a little bit nervous. I get nervous anyways, with or without a pandemic and months off. So yeah, I think it'll be nerve-wracking.
So, you know, it's one thing that's interesting with this time and how everything is causing people to re-strategize, you know, how they train and how, when they do come back, how they want to initiate that. But some people you're hearing have developed new skills and they have the downtime now to kind of, whether it be polishing up on, you know, promo work, physical fitness. Is there anything that you found that with this downtime you've been able to develop a skill that may lend to you know, down the road when you things are normal, per se?
I feel like I've had time to kind of heal injuries more, like given that I'm not bumping every weekend or sitting in a car perfectly still or whatever, especially like the shoulder that I injured a couple of years ago. I've been able to rehab that a little bit more and build more strength in that. But I've also, like, because of the pandemic, had to like get creative with merch and stuff, like trying to make an income while not doing shows exactly, but still paying my bills with wrestling somehow. So making new 8x10s, exploring new shirts, Patreon and stuff like that, just trying to expand myself and my brand, I guess, for the time being while there's no wrestling.
That's awesome. Yeah, and now media, and something that stood out to me was recently you went axe throwing. There's a place here in Vegas down on Fremont, and I've always wanted to go. I haven't gone. What was your experience like doing the axe throw?
I was just in Vegas like a couple days ago. That's funny. But axe throwing was like the coolest thing I've done all summer.
Nice.
I was at dinner with my boyfriend, my best friend, and her boyfriend, and it was for my birthday a couple days before. And after dinner, my boyfriend's like, oh, I want to go find the 7-Eleven or something. So we start walking through downtown Orlando, and we like stumble upon the axe throwing place. And I'm like, oh, I've always wanted to go there. And he's like, I know, that's what we're doing. And I'm like, no, we're not. I was like dead ass set. I was like, this is not what we're doing. Because I was like, it was like almost 9 p.m. I was like, I don't even know if they're open. And I don't know if they're open with COVID right now, but they were. And then, like, I didn't believe TJ at all. But then Selena had to confirm it for me and be like, no, this is really like what we're doing. Like, until she said it, I like didn't believe it. So it was crazy and it was so much fun. And like, my shoulder hurt the next day, but like, it was worth it. It was so much fun. TJ and I won.
It's awesome.
You know, very cool. You brought up TJ's name. And I'm assuming.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I'm assuming too you were in Vegas because he kind of is out here. Is there any chance that you'll start maybe popping up at a certain Future Stars of Wrestling out here in Las Vegas?
Ooh, I would love to. Again, it just depends when things start running again. But yeah, I can definitely see that, like go out and visit him and do that. And this past week, we were going to train out there and do some stuff, but, like, we just mostly did touristy things instead. So I'll probably be able to check that school out at least sometime soon.
What is the most touristy thing that you guys did?
Ooh. Probably, like, walking through Caesar's Palace and the Bellagio.
Seeing
the flowers there and such.
Is it, because I haven't been on the Strip that much at all, how many people are there? Is it kind of an eerie feeling, or is there enough people to make you go, it just feels like normal?
Well, it was the first time, like, I've ever been out there, so wow. I can't really speak on normal, but, I mean, there's, like, a fair amount of people. Luckily, everybody was wearing their mask indoors and outdoors, so, like, even though there was a fair amount of people. I could definitely see where there would be more people though.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you don't realize something is so massive until that regularity is not there. Like I never thought about it in terms of you drive down the street and you see all these people on the Strip and now you drive down and you see people, but it's like, on the same lines, is there anything that you've done recently in Florida that, you know, is more touristy or, you know, something that's like because Florida's been a little more open, that has more people, or have you been pretty much kind of just staying low key at home?
The most touristy thing, like, well, I haven't done anything really much lately because, like, our touristy thing is mostly theme parks.
Right.
And I think I'm going to be going to Disney soon and braving that, seeing how that goes. But from people I know who have been, it's like they take the proper precautions and stuff. So I feel comfortable now. And like, you let that first wave of people go and they test the waters and everything. So I'm probably doing that soon. But I've actually been kind of traveling like with him to different shows he's had. Like I went to Los Angeles when he filmed for New Japan, Nashville when he filmed for Impact. Like that's where their studio is right now for filming.
Right.
So I've been able to like kind of visit him, barely be at home for the month of July, really. But yeah, that's kind of been up to.
Yeah, it must be tough too, having a long distance relationship. So, you know, during let alone during a pandemic, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So when you've, you know, been in the ring, you've had some success with some stables and teams. One that stands out to me is the Cutie Pie Club. What inspired that?
We were just three cuties that happened to get along and look cute together. But my friend Rob Naylor was helping book Shine at the time, and like he could see the three of us just like one thing we all have in common is like being little bitches, I'd say. So kind of we just put that all together, and like it was a little bit like a Mean Girls kind of situation, like the plastics. Yeah. So I maybe that was like an inspiration for it.
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, that was gold.
Yeah, it was fun.
And then the other person you get to work with is Selena. How did you guys first meet, and what is it been like? I mean, we interviewed her last year, and she is to me one of the smartest freaking people that is self-driven I've ever met.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, she inspires me to like get more done and all that kind of, especially like in business. But we met in 2016, I think. Like she had just started in the business like a couple months, I'd say. And I was at her wrestling school one morning, and I was going to be training with Santana. And Selena showed up because Santana also invited her. I just didn't know it. So we were both there without Santana. So we just like got to talking and like became close friends. Like I remember she immediately was like, let me add you on my Snapchat. And I'm like, how do you know you? But okay. And then it was like a month-ish later, we wrestled each other twice on these ACW shows at like a Biketoberfest kind of deal. And I was like a year and a half into the business probably, and these were among her first matches. So they were really fun and memorable. And I still have like some pictures from them, but that's really how we got started on being close friends.
Awesome. That's awesome. And now, one thing that, with your travels and all that kind of stuff, I've got to ask, how did you become such a claw game expert? And, and also have you messed with any of those online apps that allow you to control a claw machine typically located in Japan, where if you actually win the prize, they actually send it to you?
I didn't know about this at all. So no, I've never messed with them. No, that's incredible though.
Yeah.
How I got good, I don't know. I think it's confidence. I have the confidence that I'm going to win the toys I want. And I had a pretty good sweep the other day at Pink Wawa. And it was like the prettiest, cutest place I've ever been. And I gave one of the toys to his pigs, so like I only got three toys.
Only.
But it was yeah. Only. But yeah, I definitely want to go back and win more. I don't know, maybe it's a natural talent.
There you go. Yeah, the app is called Toreba. Toreba. It's available in for iPhone and Android. Okay. And yeah, you control a claw machine, and it's in Japan. If you actually win the prize, they send it to you. You pay like the shipping's free, and you can redeem that like once every 3 weeks or whatever. So you should check it out.
Wow.
I am right now, so I don't forget. they look like they have cute prizes too.
They've got all sorts of stuff. I've actually, I have gotten like a Bullet Club water bottle even. So occasionally they'll have stuff from like New Japan on there.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Fancy. So. Okay, it's downloading now, so I'll get to that later.
Awesome.
So what are some, you know, some other goals or aspirations that, that you kind of, you know, looking forward to doing once, you know, the, you know, COVID kind of dies down or at least gets, you know, back to regular life as much as we can?
Well, I was set to achieve my goal of wrestling overseas like in July, but that obviously isn't happening. We're not allowed to travel anywhere really. I was going to go to England and do some shows over there, but I don't know when I'm going to be able to do that now. Other than that, most of my goals do involve wrestling overseas. Like I really want to go to Japan and like train in the dojo style and wrestle there. Wherever will have me. Same applies going to Mexico and learning more lucha stuff. Traveling just as much as I can because like I've done a lot of my career in Georgia, Florida, this kind of area. So like I definitely just want to expand beyond that. And I guess like a tangible goal for now could be wrestling on the West Coast more when that gets running again. But yeah, those are mostly my goals, are traveling more.
Now, are you also kind of looking with that traveling and getting, you know, soaking in that more experience? Are you looking at kind of switching up, you know, your moveset, repertoire or anything as you go along building?
Yeah, I have been trying to wrestle more technical style just because it's easier on my body and I have like overly flexible joints. So it is easier for me to do certain technical things and like low-key at training one time said I'm like Gumby, like the way that I can just like slide in and out of things. So yeah, hold on, someone's FaceTiming me. I need to deny them because it's messing up my stream with you.
It's okay.
How rude. Okay. But yeah. I really like technical wrestling. I obviously have someone I can learn from, so that's pretty cool. But if I, you know, get to go out to Mexico, I want to learn more lucha. It's always been my favorite style and be really cool to see my body can do all those kind of flips and things.
Well, you know, and that's also a good thing too, that you mentioned. I mean, you know, your boyfriend has loads amounts of experience and perspective that he can lend you and give you that insight of, you know, those goals that you're setting it up. But I mean, that sounds pretty amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing you add that more technical side of wrestling in your repertoire. That would be exciting to see.
Who so far that you've encountered, it doesn't have to be one person, it'd be a couple people, but that you've really felt that you've gelled with in the ring?
There's been a few. I used to wrestle Priscilla Kelly all the time when she lived in this area, and that was really fun, like all over Georgia and Florida, and we always had really good matches together. Selena and I, when we weren't tagging together, the couple of times we have wrestled each other besides the first couple shows, like those have always been really good matches. I mesh really well with Roxy Rouge. She's more of a Florida-based wrestler, but I love her and she's really good. And like, we just have a really good character dynamic because she's very like bubbly and animated and like former theater kid. So she knows how to turn up the dramatics and be a real character. And I just like can be a complete brat with her. We can play the size difference game so much. So I'd say I mesh well with all of them.
That's really one of my favorite things is watching when two people find that they work well together. And especially now with women's wrestling kind of taking a forefront and expanding, Do you see yourself as part of a movement that will eventually lead to younger girls looking up to you guys that hopefully within the next, you know, 10 years or so, we see that women's wrestling is basically looked at its own merits, you know, so it's not like, you know, even just the evolution now, but really that women's wrestling is, there's no question you guys are, you know, top game, top notch performers.
Yeah, I'd say that, like, the revolution has really helped us kind of be on this path towards being taken more seriously, being given more time, being given more opportunities, more storylines, more freedom, so much. So I can only see that as growing, and I'm really grateful to be part of wrestling during this time because, like, for instance, when I started watching wrestling in 2008, like, we were past mostly, like, the kind of degrading matches, I'd say, like bra and panties or like wrestling in pudding or mud or something. But it's still like was the diva era that didn't really like get the respect it deserved, in my opinion. Like, not any knock on the women themselves, but I guess the business, those 3-minute matches and being the bathroom break matches or having like ridiculous segments that don't involve wrestling at all. Like, I'm glad that we're past that point too. So I can only see us being taken more and more seriously as time goes on.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know, the thing that really stands out to me is that, you know, you have already worked all over the world and you've got, you know, just a few years behind you. I mean, you've worked for Rise, Shine, MLW, AWE in the Atlanta area. Which promotions are you the most eager to get back into and to use their platform to further your name and your brand?
Favorite promotion, hands down, is my home promotion and Wrestling Entertainment. What sucks is right before the pandemic, I became the first Roar Women's Champion. So by default, I'm already the longest reigning. When I won, the belt wasn't in yet. So like I won and the idea was next show we do this elaborate championship ceremony and get the belt and whatever. And I've never seen the belt. I've never touched it. It's somewhere in Atlanta at the Booker's house or something like that. But I am the Roar champion. regardless of possession is 9/10 of the law, but I'm not 1/10. It doesn't matter. So yeah, I'm really excited to get back to Atlanta because I have been there the longest in the women's divisions too. So I pretty much can run shit however I want. And it's my division. And I'm excited to see, like, because we've got a lot of girls in Florida and Georgia that have, like, just started wrestling, like, or, like, not just started wrestling, but, like, just started traveling more. So it'd be really fun to see who they can bring in, what fresh meat they can bring in. And I also really miss Best Wrestling in Florida. That's, like, I'd say my home Florida promotion. It's always a party there. It's always fun, and I miss it. I don't know when any of them are coming back, so.
That's so sad. I just know. It is. It's like so sad because all of us feel that same way of like, when are these things that we love going to come back to us?
Yeah.
Oh man. Go ahead, Sana.
So I'm going to go ahead and put this positive energy out there. So when you, you know, put in all the hard work pays off and everything, and you are working at wherever the bigger promotions, WWE, AEW, New Japan, whatever, who would you be most excited to work with and run and do a match with?
I have 3 names I'm thinking of. Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she's the best.
Okay. And then, you know, with Charlotte, who would you say would be the second? Because I saw you making a wish with your gestures.
Yes.
You have more than one. So who would be the one just below?
I have three. Below her, I would put Sasha Banks and Io Shirai.
All right. Ooh. All right.
Yeah, I think they're the best.
All right, see, we put that energy out there, it's going to happen. You watch. Mm-hmm. We're going to be sitting there one day, and it's going to happen.
I hope.
See, Io is a great... I think that your styles would come together. That would be phenomenal. I really...
That'd be so fun.
Yeah, that would be so cool. You know, with AEW having this women's tag tournament coming up, and they're probably going to be bringing in a number of people, have you even thought about that potential?
I have. What's funny is, like, I think one time I tweeted that, well, I did tweet, that me and another, like, super flexible wrestler should team and be called the Flex Express. And, like, someone suggested to me it'd be Penelope Ford. So if she's listening and she wants another flexible partner that can also, like, do splits and stuff, I'm here. You know I am. I'm also blonde.
What, in your words, what would the name of that team be?
The Flex Express.
The Flex Express. I like it.
Hell yeah. I love that name. I just need to find somebody that's also, like, hypermobile and all that. The seeds are planted.
There you go. Flex Express. You heard it here. It is going to happen. Flex Express.
And
what would the t-shirt look like, though? I want to know what the t-shirt design would look like. I'm all in. I like it. I like the name.
I don't know. I have to think about something here.
That would be cool.
And, you know, you had spoken earlier about adapting things to how things are now with COVID and things of that nature. I mean, a lot of people... have already seemingly forgotten. I mean, back before COVID took over the world, independent wrestling was absolutely on fire. How do you think that independent wrestling promotions, but also independent wrestlers, will be able to adapt and respond in a post-COVID world?
I think that we're all going to be a lot more cautious about, like, our health and safety. I think... literally, it might not even be a wrestling thing, but I've heard, like, handshakes shouldn't really be a thing anymore. So even, like, down to things like that, I see there being changes, and, like, who knows how long we're going to have to wear masks for, or how long we're going to have to keep fans, like, 6 feet apart from each other. But I think there'll be a lot more people realizing that wrestling isn't something to take for granted either, because it can go away very quickly and unexpectedly. So I know that I'm, like, going to be a million times more grateful the next time I have a match. So, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Definitely.
If, okay, so we're living in these crazy times. If the COVID turns out to be the foreshadower of a zombie apocalypse.
Right. If.
Okay. You can have a team of yourself and three other people in your life. Who would you choose to, you know, be the people to help you stay alive?
Do they have to be people I know?
No, not necessarily.
No.
Sure.
Okay, then that helps, because I would want The Rock on my zombie survival team.
Yeah.
I think that's a good guess. I think that's a great guess. Man. I guess PJ can come.
Yes. Okay. You can do a lifeline.
Yeah. And the last one. This is so hard, because it's like you gotta survive and shit. What's a good skill to have? Weaponry, probably. Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Because wow. He always talks about archery and shooting and shit like that. So I feel like those are good skills to have in hunting.
Without a doubt. And let's be real. I mean, tying it back to what we talked about earlier, now you have that axe throwing skill. I mean, I saw you had a couple of bullseyes. So
for sure. I can do that all day.
You know, now that I think about it, you said The Rock. Have we ever seen The Rock in a zombie apocalypse movie?
No.
We need to see that. We need to see that. Rock in a zombie
apocalypse. Yeah, because I already feel like he'd be good at those kind of things, surviving end of the world type of event.
There you go.
Yeah, he might be, if the end of the world happens, he might be the only one to survive. I mean, he'll
further the human race.
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
Final, as we're wrapping up here, a final question I have for you is, what, if anything, would you say is the best thing that you love about being able to go out and perform for people?
The number one thing I love about it is, I think, just making myself just happy and fulfilled doing it, because it's what I've always wanted to do. So each and every time I'm out there, whatever the result is, it's like a personal win. It's, I went out there and I did something that I've put a lot of hard work and years into, and no matter if it's on a big stage, medium stage, whatever, large stage, small stage, I already said six. But I've just been so grateful for what I get to do. So being able to go out there and be like, I did it, is pretty much just like an indescribable feeling.
And final thought, is there anyone that you can point to, like family or friends, who really have been kind of your, for lack of a better word, rock, since that word's in my head now, but you know, someone or people who have been there for you during your journey?
I would say back to Selena, because we've been friends like pretty much since around my beginning and her beginning. So it's like coming up together, and we're so similar, and we are like real life best friends. Like, we do talk all day, every day, and hang out all the time and see each other, even though we're not really tagging or anything anymore. But I'd say her, she's been there for so much. She knows like every single thing about me and like vice versa. So I'd say her, that's my dog.
Who would make a better roommate, Selena or TJ?
Oh my God. Well, TJ, of course.
Right answer.
That's a no-brainer question.
I've stayed with both of them for extended periods of time. So, oh my God, it's like if I had to live with anybody else, like it would literally just be those two. So, I mean, but TJ will pay for everything. So.
Awesome.
Which one is the I guess because I gotta go, between the two, which one is the better cleaner, or what's the best way to put it? Upkeeper of being a roommate, taking care of the shit that needs
tidy.
Yeah, the most tidy. That'll dust those plants. TJ, okay.
Yeah, Selena is perfect, but her place can be very messy at times.
Are you talking about like those piles of clothes that are clean?
There's that, you know, in her room, but it's also like she shops so much that it's like there'll be Amazon boxes all over the place, and it's like organized chaos. Though
she knows where everything is, if you asked her, where's that, she knows where it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up.
Oh my gosh. Steve, any final thoughts? Simon, any final thoughts?
No, the one thing that I would just mention is Aria, if you would, just kind of give everybody a heads up on where they can follow you on social media, where they can pick up your merch to help support you during the during this time.
So it's prowrestlingtees.com/the Aria Blake. I've got a couple of shirts up on there. If y'all want any 8x10s or anything, just send me a direct message on Instagram. It's the Aria Blake. On Twitter, it's I'm Aria Blake. And also there's patreon.com/the Aria Blake.
Cool. Excellent. And I mean, I can't encourage people enough. Please, if you've ever been a fan of Aria's, right now is the perfect time to, you know, grab an 8x10 or grab a t-shirt, because it's very important to support everyone during this time. And I, you know, I can't thank you enough for taking your time, Aria, to join us. And I do hope that when things clear up and settle down, and hopefully everything is a little bit more normal, that you do get a chance to you know, start coming out here. And I think with TJ's association now with FSW, I think that you'd find yourself kind of going, maybe I'll spend more time on the West Coast.
That's the plan eventually. But yeah, I definitely want to come out there, and we'll be visiting there as often as I can.
Awesome. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. And again, big thanks to Aria Blake for joining us. And again, support her. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees, grab a t-shirt, DM her, get a 8x10. And please just continue to support independent wrestlers during this hard time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, see ya. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.